The reading for today is from the Book of Psalms, Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. It's great to be sharing with you in this sermon today. Psalm 32, David's Psalm of Forgiveness. Yes, indeedy. It's really good. I'm away on holidays, but I'm able to talk to you all about sin today. Woohoo! No, actually, it's not a psalm on sin. It's a psalm on forgiveness. And, you know, David's the author, and while he was a great king and walked with God much of his life, we also know that he committed adultery, murder, and a lot of other sins in there as well. And when David speaks, he does so as a sinner who's been forgiven. And as we read this psalm, we see that he is a sinner who has been forgiven. And brothers and sisters, we are all sinners who have been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. What a beautiful thing. The particular sin that David refers to is not important. No, because there are too many to choose from. Well, it's actually not mentioned here. But he wrote this psalm to help us know that we can be fully restored and completely forgiven no matter what we've done. But not only that, we're released from the shackles of sin. Yeah, I think this is a really powerful thing. This is one of the seven psalms of forgiveness, which includes Psalm 6, Psalm 32, 38, 51, 102, 130, and number 143. If you've got your bingo card happy, But they're the seven kind of forgiveness psalms, and they're really good. Psalm 32 has been referred to as Paul's psalm. That's right, Paul the Apostle. They refer to this because he quotes extensively from it in Romans 4, 6 to 8 in particular, to help establish that we are declared righteous, not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done on the cross for each one of us. And that's beautiful. It's a maskil. Now, we see these funny words come up from time to time. And the best way of describing what a maskil is, it's a preaching and teaching psalm. So it's one that's going to be taught from. It's going to be preached from. And it's one that will bring encouragement and learning to our lives. Aha. So not all of them are like that. Some are songs. Some are other things. But anyway, so this psalm is given so we can learn from others' experiences. But before we delve into this, let's look at guilt quickly. It's, you got to understand that with sin comes guilt. Guilt destroys our confidence. It damages relationships. It keeps us stuck in the past, to be quite honest. And forgiveness, on the other hand, from God, well, it when we get forgiveness from God, when we get forgiveness from others, and forgiveness from ourselves. I think one of the greatest sins we have is we don't forgive ourselves. When we get forgiveness, it releases us from the shackles of guilt. Verse 1, 2, the happiness of forgiveness. You know, the first word is blessed. Do you remember what that means? Oh, the joy welling up, effervescing from within, bursting forth. And David provides a threefold description of sin in these first two verses. Charles Spurgeon calls this the three-headed dog barking at the gates of hell. Transgression depicts a defiant disobedience towards God, a revolt against the Almighty. Sin means to miss the mark of God's perfection, either through acts of commission or omission. And the word translated sin in verse 2 is actually the word for iniquity, which represents a crookedness, a deformity, or a perversion. The image of a gnarled tree would probably be the best image you could have, twisted and turned in all directions, instead of being a nice, beautiful, straight tree. And so these three words are used in this passage. So why are there three words for sin? Well, transgression, sin, iniquity, you know, it's kind of like saying, David, no need to yell. We get it, you've done something wrong, but on the contrary, he is pointing out that all is forgivable, all is restorable, all is able to be healed. Now, I know that is a huge, huge thing. But as we go through this psalm, you'll see that. He uses a threefold response to express forgiveness. We're forgiven, we're covered, and we're, well, reckoned. The same phrase for reckon is found in Genesis 15, verse 6, where God reckoned righteousness to Adam. God does not count our sins against us, but imputes or places the righteousness of another upon us, being Jesus. So, true repentance. What is true repentance? So we're going to look at a bit of repentance, because this psalm deals with sin and repentance and forgiveness of sin and the release of guilt. I think as we bounce through a couple of other passages in the scripture, it's helpful. We have Isaiah 1, verse 18. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. And according to Isaiah 43, verse 25, when God forgives, he no longer remembers our sins. I am he who blots out your transgressions, says God, for my own sake, and remembers your sins no more. So that's in the Old Testament. And as I keep saying, we sometimes put on our Christian glasses as we read through the Old Testament. But these psalms are written predominantly for the Jewish community and under their laws of the Abrahamic laws and the Abrahamic covenant. In the last part of Psalm 32, verse 2, David says that God does all of this for the one in whose spirit is no deceit. For the one who's, there's no deceit in their spirit. Now, does that mean someone who has no faults? Mm-mm, no, far from it. But rather refers to those who readily admit their sins. It's the idea of authenticity, penitent heart, humble-hearted, recognizing that they have sinned. See, there's a heaviness of sin. We're only as sick as our secrets, to be quite honest. And when you hide your sins, you will be unhealthy. And when you share your secrets with God and with someone else trusted, you stop feeling the sickness of guilt there. And the secret you want most to conceal is the one that you probably most need to reveal. And being someone who's been through post-traumatic stress, I can say that in post-traumatic stress sufferers, sometimes it is the secret that's been concealed most that you desperately want declared, that will bring you the healing and the restoration and the way forward again. That's not always the case with every PTSD, but it was with me in particular. In Proverbs 28, verse 13, he who conceals his sin does not prosper. Why? Well, it shackles you. And so not only Solomon, who's writing in Proverbs, but David and then others have written that, yep, this is a real challenge. These middle verses remind us that when we don't fully confess, we will experience emotional and physical distress. Anger and bitterness come as a result of unconfessed sin and will eat you inside to out. Ulcers, high blood pressure, migraine, headaches, lower back pain can come from concealing our sins. There's a psychiatrist called Carl Menninger, and he once said that if he could convince the patients in his psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, he believed that 75% of them could walk out the next day. That blows my mind. It blows my mind. In fact, I just think that the world needs to hear about the forgiveness of sin a whole heap more. Because if a psychiatrist is saying that people just naturally need to be told that their sins are forgiven, their brokenness is forgiven, their wrongs are forgiven, and that they can be restored, whew, and that unshackles them, then brothers and sisters, is not the power of Christ in you and in me the most beautiful of beautiful things, where we hear those words every morning, your sins are forgiven, and we say, thanks be to God. You know, there's a story of these two southern women in America who were sitting in the front pews of church listening to a fiery preacher. He was banging the pulpit and the ladies were cheering him on and getting into it. He condemned them the sin of stealing. And the two ladies were crying out, amen, brother, amen, stealing. And then when he condemned the sin of lust again, preach it, Reverend, preach it. And when he spoke out against lying, they jumped up and they were screaming, right on, brother, you tell it like it is, amen. And then the preacher condemned the sin of gossip. And the two of them went very quiet. And one lady turned to the other and said, well, he's stopped preaching now, and now he's just meddling in our lives. I use that as an example because what sin quietens you up this morning? What sin quietens you up? Now, before you let that get you down, before you let that shackle you, I want you to hear the hope. Because this psalm has some hope. Verse 5 gives us the right approach. When David could find no relief in no other ways, he said, then I acknowledged my sin to you, and you did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave my sin. You forgave my sin. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. You did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. We would be much better off if we stop using other words and phrases to excuse our behavior and begin using biblical terms. Sin loves to hide behind euphemisms. It is only a little lie, or it didn't really hurt anyone. Really, it's a sin. But the beautiful thing is, brothers and sisters, it's forgivable straight away. So how do you put a value on forgiveness? John Piper, one of the more contemporary authors, says, until we fear sin and its consequences more keenly, we will not prize our pardon very highly. That's a good set of words there, isn't it? Just remember that God is in the business of forgiving us by his powerful love of Jesus on the cross. Sometimes talk about sin in our lives can cause guilt and harsh feelings to occur. And that's not what God wants you to have. He doesn't want you to have the guilt. John 3:17. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. No, what did he send him for? That we would be forgiven and we would have life. So here's the thing. If you're a Christian and you're watching this and you're going, well, Nick, I feel really guilty. No. Because God says, I didn't send Jesus to condemn you. I didn't send him to make you feel guilty. I actually sent him to forgive and release and unshackle you. And so that forgiveness is being restored. Now, maybe you're watching this and you're not a Christian. And maybe you're sitting there going, well, what's this forgiveness all about? Well, penitent, contrite heart, come to God and just say, God, I have sinned against you. And you might be able to list some sins. You won't be able to list them all, but you can just say, God, you know all of my sin. You know my life, and I just want to yield my heart to you now. And I want to hear those words, my sins are forgiven. And God will say, amen, your sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. You know God's nature? It's the most beautiful nature, and the scriptures remind us constantly of what God's nature is really like. Did you know God wants to forgive more than we could ever want to seek forgiveness? See, this is the funny thing. God wants to forgive us more than we actually want to seek forgiveness for our sin. No need to bargain, no need to bribe or promise good deeds. Oh God, if you do this, you know, if you forgive me of this, I won't do it. No need. None of it matters in our lives. Just forgiveness and being made whole through Jesus, it's a gift from God. It's not something you can just go and work deeds to get. It's beautiful. The psalmist continues by letting us know what God will continue to offer us. In verse 6 and 7, he offers a protection. Verse 8 to 10, his instruction. And in verse 11, joy. Protection, instruction, joy. God's setting us up to head into the future after forgiveness. See, when we stay close to the Lord by cultivating a spirit of surrender and submission, when we practice regular confession, we can't help but break out into joy. Rejoice and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all of you who are upright in heart. The word rejoice means to spin around with glee, and the phrase be glad literally means to brighten up. Yes, lift your faces to God in joy. You know, this is a beautiful psalm, and I hope it's been one that you've been able to read through. And, you know, as I said last week, the month of February has been our reading of Psalms 1 through to 41. And so here's a psalm for you to read in there. Maybe even today it's the day you got up to this psalm. And maybe it's a psalm that you could reread again and again. Maybe it's something you put inside your Bible, or, you know, you write it out, or you put it on the wall in your office. And it just reminds you constantly that every morning when you wake up, every morning before you do anything, God whispers this in your ears. Your sins are forgiven. Every morning, your sins are forgiven. The Christian message doesn't get any better than this, does it? It doesn't get any better. So this week, may we fear God and know his love and forgiveness is more freely offered than our desire to have it. Amen. And may we come with a heart of integrity as we confess our brokenness and sin. And may we always hear those precious words, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Have a blessed week.